A weekend event for Southeast veterans kicks off Friday, and a wrap-up of the Southeast SANE season. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more, up next. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is holding its first-ever stand-down outreach event in Southeast Alaska, Friday and Saturday at Juneau Centennial Hall. Stand-down events are designed to provide services to veterans, especially homeless vets and vets in need. The Juneau event will feature information about VA services, as well as 13 local nonprofits and Native groups. Marsha Hoffman DeVoe is a spokeswoman for the Alaska VA healthcare system.
Having VA staff and programs and community programs ultimately provides a better package, for the veterans, so that, we're working with the agencies here in the community to, do those transitions between what we can provide and what the community agency can provide.
Hoffman DeVoe says VA stand-down events take place nationwide. Anchorage has hosted them for more than 25 years, and Fairbanks for more than a decade. Barrow held the first one in rural Alaska last fall. She hopes the Southeast stand-down will become a regular event.
There are 77,000 veterans in the state of Alaska. I just checked the 2010 census figures again, and Alaska continues to have the highest number of veterans per capita at 14% of our population is veterans. About 10% of those veterans live in Southeast Alaska.
Non-VA partners in the stand-down event include the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, the Tlingit and Haida Central Council, Front Street Clinic, and Southeast Senior Services. Officials from the Haines American Legion are also in Juneau to help with the event, according to Post Commander Bill McRoberts. In addition to health care and housing services, veterans who attend the event can get used clothing, blankets, and sheets through the U.S. Defense Reutilization Office. The event will be held Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Centennial Hall. Lunch will be provided. The Haines Public Library next week is hosting a cultural exchange event of local and Canadian tribes. The two-day event includes storytelling, art and carving demonstrations, Native food sampling, panel discussions, and films. Tlingit Elder Helen Abbott Watkins from Juneau will present at the event. So will Champaign and Asiac First Nations Elder Marge Jackson of Haines Junction, as well as local residents. The event is part of the Chilkat Valley Storyboard Grant. Library Education Coordinator Yolanta Ryan said the two-year grant project aims to document and preserve Tlingit place names in the region, and this event is one way to include First Nation people in that project.
Our story map project extends all the way up to Haines Junction, so the place names that are on the storyboard, they're places from here to Haines Junction. And so we're hoping some of the people from up north, from Haines Junction, can talk about the places up in the Yukon area. And bring those stories to Haines, and then we can include that on our storyboard.
The grant is from the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services and is a partnership between the Chilkoot Indian Association and the library. Activities begin Tuesday, September 11th at 4 p.m. and run into the evening. The event begins Wednesday morning with storytelling at 10:15 and runs throughout the day. Visit the Haines Public Library website for a complete list of events. We brought you a story earlier this week about the battle over a popular fishing area near Sitka. The board of a closed college and a Native corporation filed competing ownership claims. And now there's more developments. Sea Alaska Corporation has formally responded to Sheldon Jackson College trustees' claim to the area. The Southeast Regional Native Corporation says it should take over an 11-acre site, including Redoubt Falls and parts of the nearby lake and bay. Sheldon Jackson's trustees have made claim to 160 acres in the area, including the land Sea Alaska seeks. The corporation's answer to that claim was filed Tuesday with the Federal Bureau of Land Management. It says the land sought by Sea Alaska is a traditional Tlingit fishing village historically owned by the Kiksadi clan. Jalene Arujo is Sea Alaska's general counsel.
We believe it's pretty clear that Native ownership and use and occupancy was established first, and we understand that there may have been some Russian use but we still believe that we have a very strong claim to Native historical use and will continue to pursue that claim.
Sea Alaska plans to turn site management over to the Sitka Tribe of Alaska if it wins its claim. Sheldon Jackson's trustees say they can trace ownership from about the time Russia sold Alaska to the United States. Their filings also say Readout once housed a small Russian town. The corporation says those claims are for long-gone buildings, not the land, which is now part of the Tongass National Forest. And it says Russian historians trace the Tlingit town to before colonial times. Sea Alaska also says the Russians paid a form of rent to use the readout area. In addition, it says Russian law strictly prohibits colonists from appropriating Tlingit-owned property. Southeast seine crews have been swapping their nets for bait sheds as they shift from summer salmon fishing to fall longlining for halibut and black cod. The fleet's total pink salmon catch was less than half of last year's, but somewhat higher than projections. It was a good year for summer chum, and prices remained high for both species. Matt Lichtenstein checked in with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for a seine season summary.
The summer seine fishery wrapped up at the end of August when Fish and Game announced there would be no more pink salmon openings this season. Some seiners continue fishing for fall dogs, but pinks are the fleet's bread and butter. Since 2006, the runs have been coming in weak on even years and strong during odd years. 2012 was no exception. Fish and Game projected an all-year harvest of 17 million fish, and it came in roughly 20 million, nearly 19 million of which were caught by the seiners.
So we're a little bit above forecast, but pretty much in line with preseason expectations of a weak even year.
That's biologist Bill Davidson, the department's commercial fisheries coordinator in Southeast. According to Davidson, climate played a big role in the up-down cycle of pink returns.
In Southeast, we had a pattern of strong both even and odd years until 2006. And then in 2006, we had cold winter and cold spring conditions, and combined with sort of a drought during some of the spawning returns. And so those climatic conditions led to, you know, poor early marine survivals and started this cycle. And it seems to be taking some time to recover from it. What makes the pattern persist so long is a little bit beyond my ability to explain.
The biggest pink catches this year were in District 4 on the coast of southern Southeast, where the fleet brought in 6 million. They landed nearly 6 million more from District 2 off the southeast coast of Prince of Wales Island. It was just the opposite last year, when most of the pinks were caught in the northern panhandle. Low pink projections for 2012 meant less participation. 238 boats made landings this summer. That's compared with the 270 boats that caught a whopping 55 million pink salmon last year. According to Davidson, the number of pinks escaping upstream to spawn was good overall this year, but there were still trouble spots.
I think some areas actually took a further downturn, like Peril Strait, Hoonah Sound area, was actually a setback from escapements. 2 years ago, that area never even opened all season, and other areas were quite good. And I think even within areas, there were some strong returns right next to some weaker returns. So kind of an inconsistent pattern of escapements.
This year's dock prices were on par with last year's, which were exceptionally good. Pinks averaged around 40 cents a pound, and dogs fetched twice that. Dogs are the other target species for seiners, and Davidson says they landed a total of 5.8 million this summer, 1.2 million of which went towards cost recovery for hatchery operations.
It's not an all-time best or anything like that, but it's a very strong chum return this year. And of course, most of the chum that are harvested in the Southeast purse seine fishery are produced by the hatchery organizations. And almost across the board, the hatchery chum returns were better than the hatchery organizations had forecast.
Along with chum and pink salmon, seiners landed 248,000 coho, 171,000 sockeye, and 38,000 kings this season. Davidson estimates the all-species seine catch was worth a total of roughly $64 million in Southeast this year, which is less than half the value of the record 2011 season. in Petersburg. I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And we wanted to mention a few final notes for KHNS News tonight. First, we were pleased to have the return of Talk Around Town on KHNS Thursday morning. The public affairs show, hosted by Deborah Schnabel, will, for now, air every other Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. What we'd love to do is be able to produce a similar show every other week for Skagway news and topics. Please, Skagway listeners, let us know if this is something that would interest you, and especially if you'd be interested in volunteering to help with this show. We're committed to making it happen if it's something our community wants. Also, don't forget, News Junkies, we're not just here for 11 minutes each evening and twice for you in the morning. Our newscasts and other information is always available on our KHNS News webpage at khns.org. And we're on Facebook, too, where we post about local news happening now or updates about upcoming news events. Like tonight, if you follow us on Facebook, you'll be reminded that we'll bring you live coverage of the Democratic National Convention starting tonight at 6 p.m. We'll air President Obama's speech live and in its entirety. So give us your feedback, Haynes, Kleckwan, and Skagway, and let us know how your news department can best keep you updated and informed. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.